Well, this morning we're going to listen to Jesus say some exciting things in the passage of Scripture we're looking at, and I trust that you're going to find it inspirational as it registers what it is that he is actually saying and what that means for you and I today. Our text is John chapter 8, verses 48 to 59, and the conversation that we're about to listen in on takes place immediately on the heels of Jesus telling folks that the truth would make them free, and he had said if the Son would make you free, then you would be free indeed. So this is just continuing on from that, but we are in John chapter 8, ready for verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, these individuals that Jesus was talking to needed to realize some things. They needed to realize that Jesus was far more than some guy on a boat, on a soapbox, or on a lecture circuit, or on a marketing blitz. He was divine, and he was and is from everlasting to everlasting. To help us think more on this, I'd like to use this as an outline today, starting with Jesus before the world was, and then Jesus throughout the world's existence, and then Jesus after the world ends. So again, I hope you find this inspirational. First of all, let's think about Jesus before the world was. The Jews were taking Jesus to task for some things here. It had to do regarding his claims. And I can just imagine the tone of their voice as they responded to him. You know, as he said in verse 53, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" You know. And then in verse 57 is another retort. "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" But then notice the response of Jesus. According to verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." How far back did Jesus go? And how is it that he existed before he was born of the Virgin Mary? Well, in John chapter 17, as he was addressing God the Father, we gain insight regarding his existence before time began. He said, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Before the world was. Verse 24 of the same chapter, Jesus said this, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me before the foundation of the world." I hope you're catching that. Before the world was, before the foundation of the world. So, in order to understand who Jesus was, who Jesus is, we need to realize that he existed before the world as we know it came into existence. Not only did Jesus exist before the world came into being, but he was actually involved in its creation. The Bible, in speaking of this, says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." And verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things consist." 5-year-old Christopher was excitedly reporting to his parents what he had learned in Sunday school, and he told the story of Adam and Eve and how Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. And a few days later, he said, "My side hurts. I think I'm having a wife." We need to realize some things here as we're looking at the scripture this morning, and that is, there really is no room for this Big Bang theory, is there? Or for the theory of evolution, because the scriptures proclaim a God that created the world by speaking it into existence. The scriptures portray and tell us about a God who intentionally made mankind, creating them male and female, creating them in his image. Jesus existed before the world began, and he was involved in its creation. God created, and then he looked at things and he said, "It is what? It is good." Yes. Sometimes it's hard for those of us that have been accustomed to time and space to think in terms of eternity. And yet that is exactly what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are. They are eternal. I'd like you to notice how the Lord is referred to in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." From everlasting to everlasting. He is God. Before the world began, the I Am was. The Jews that Jesus was talking to in our text this morning needed to understand that Jesus was not just a young man. He was before Abraham. He was before the world, as we know it, came into existence. He was God. He was Lord. He was eternal. Now, let's move on then and think secondly about Jesus throughout the world's existence. Jesus throughout the world's existence. I mean, that brings us into the time of Christ, but it brings us into the present time as well. That the Jews were questioning the claims of Jesus. They were thinking he must have a demon to maintain that he was greater than Abraham. After all, even Abraham, they said, and the prophets are dead. How could Jesus maintain that if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? It's out of verse 52. So, what does a person make of all this? What do you make of it? To make sense of it, we need to again reflect on verse 58. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Wasn't hard this morning to come up with a sermon title. It's simply, Jesus, the I Am. And at this point, we need to or want to turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus. I'm turning back to Exodus. We want to have a peek at chapter 3. And in the first part of the chapter, we have the fascinating account of Moses at the burning bush. Now, this bush, by the way, was not a tree that was decorated and someone plugged it in at the appropriate time because it was Christmas or whatever. It was not that. It was not a wildfire, you know, like they have in California these days. It wasn't something that happened because someone was walking by or riding by and discarded a cigarette that wasn't completely extinguished. They tell us a lot of fires start that way. But here's what we're told in verses 1 to 5. Again, I'm in Exodus 3 now. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Well, moreover, he said, verse 6, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I wonder, has God ever tried to get our attention because there was something that was needful in our lives? Or has he ever tried to get your attention or my attention because there was something that he wanted us to be doing? Victor Sharp tells how he went to church for the first time when he was 7 years old, and he went with a neighbor, and during the service he had heard the preacher talk about, he used the phrase, you know, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And he asked his mother what it meant, and she said, "Well, we all come from dust. We shall all return to dust." And that night his mother was startled to hear Victor call to her from his bedroom, "Come quickly, Mommy. There's somebody under the bed that's either coming or going." Well, sometimes we are startled by what takes place. And sometimes we're not sure whether we're coming or going. But when we listen carefully, we discover that God is actually at work. And God is actually at work in directing our steps. In the case of Moses, God caught his attention with the burning bush because he had an assignment for him. Now in verse 10, God told Moses, "Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now there's just a little problem with all this. It's not that the assignment wasn't clear, it's that Moses just wasn't sure about things. He wasn't sure, first of all, whether he was the right person for the assignment. He wasn't sure that he was up to the task. He wasn't sure what he would say if he actually, you know, went on this assignment. Now, I'd like you to notice carefully what we're told in verses 13 to 15. We're still here in Exodus 3. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, we could spend a lot of time unpacking that. Perhaps we should have a preach-off. We'll have the Bartholomews and Bobby Murphy and Adam Schenck all do a preach-off here on this name of God. And I think it would be loads of fun and we would learn a lot. This morning, though, we want to highlight just a couple things in particular. And that is that one being that the Lord, the I Am, not only existed before the world began, but was and is involved throughout the world's existence. Does that make sense? The I Am not only existed before the world began, but the I Am was involved and is involved during this present time. You see, the involvement was not just with Moses. It was not just with those that were specifically referred to or specifically named in Scripture. But God knows our name. Even the hairs on our head are numbered, right? And so He is involved in our lives. The involvement includes all of God's people in all generations. This is for you and I. And then the Lord, the I Am, not only revealed Himself in the Old Testament, but actually He more fully revealed Himself in Jesus. Think, for example, of some of the specific ways that Jesus referred to Himself. And right here from John's Gospel, you know, that we've been digging into for a time now. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, John 15:1. Now, the Jews, that our text says, took up stones to throw at Jesus, were not thinking properly. They were not thinking beyond the humanity of Jesus. And to understand Jesus, one needs to also think about the divinity of Jesus. To fully understand Jesus, the person needs to think of the fact that He is divine. The I Am. The I Am. And there are a few places in Scripture that speak so concisely about the unchanging nature of Scripture as we find in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And this is a verse, by the way, that I think we ought to, if we don't have it, memorized, or we have to highlight it somehow. We need to grab onto it. Jesus Christ, the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. You got it, you know it, yes. And that leads us to the third key point. Let's reflect for just a little bit on Jesus after the world ends. Jesus after the world ends. It seems to me that even a casual reading of Scripture makes it clear that the world as we know it will someday come to an end. Peter, for example, spoke of the earth and the works in it being burned, and he said even the elements would melt with a fervent heat. And then he issued that clarion call saying, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness," in 2 Peter 2:10. That might be a good passage to go back to think further on those things. But it reminded me of when I was in high school. I may have shared this with some of you before, but at the time I was working in a grocery store there in Walnut Creek, Ohio. It was Ralph's IGA, and I did different things there. I checked people out, and I also did stock stuff. I was actually on the floor doing something at some of the shelves that day when Betty Burkholder came in with her cart and getting some groceries. Betty was a godly woman, and she apparently had a concern about my spiritual well-being. She would witness to me. And that day, she began talking to me about eternity. And here we are, how many years later, and I still remember how she approached it that day. She was wanting me to think about, to try to somehow latch on to eternity. She said, "Now, think about if there were an ant." So, an ant. And the ant starts walking around the center of the circumference of the earth, you know, around the equator. And this ant kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. You know, how long would that take? And then it would go so long that this ant, because it was going around the same spot time after time after time, would start wearing a path there in the earth, in the ground, and, you know, kept going and kept going and kept going. How long would it take for that one little ant to, you know, to wear a significant path or trench or whatever? That, as she was wanting me to realize, would only be the very beginning of eternity. Now, it's difficult. It is difficult for our minds to grasp eternity. It's hard for us to think in terms of that which is unending. How would you describe it to somebody that really gets them thinking? It almost blows a person's fuse to ponder the word forever. But here is something, though, that we can and need to latch onto in regard to all of this. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." But if you want more, just go to the last chapter in the Bible, in Revelation chapter, is it the last one? Is it 21 or 22? It's actually 22. 22, 12, and 13. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Now, why am I calling attention to these verses? Well, to point out that Jesus, the I Am, not only was prior to the existence of the world, and not only was or is throughout the existence of the world, but will continue to be after the world, as we know it, have come to an end. The I Am will be in eternity. He is everlasting God. Everlasting God. Lord, sometimes it becomes challenging to even try to communicate appropriately and properly to fully describe who you are and what you're like. But may these glimpses that we touch base on today continue to resonate with us, continue to bless us, continue to encourage us. And may we draw great strength, even in this present time, as needy people that are mindful of the reality of I am. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.